Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast, and yeah, happy new year everyone. Last year was an interesting year, to say the least. Anyway, we didn't mention in this podcast, which I think is important, not as important as like it was, it wasn't what the podcast was about, but it's just a bit of backstory. We were interviewing a friend there, because that's why we're for this podcast, and they helped get the Ann Hegarty to interview, which that's basically a plug to go listen to it. Anyway, they helped me get that involved, and I decided to interview them on the podcast. It's been taking a while to get going, but it's happened. The story was, the family were kicked out. Glenn's family, who you'll see talk about it, they were kicked out of a performance. About 10 minutes in, because the sound engineer found their child distracting. Gregor is the name, who was at fault, which is not, he wasn't doing anything wrong. A lot more can be found on the website from Lexus.org, but from the sound engineer's point of view, they were too distracting. Don't ask me how you become a sound engineer if you can't handle audience reactions, but oh well. I think you should just go listen to it. I just thought I'd mention that's what happened. It was a few years ago and they got their campaign going. I think I've got everything covered, except go like us on Facebook, Twitter, etc. Yeah, everything's covered. Cool. Thanks for, just because we were laughing, that's why I didn't get covered. That's why I'm... I could re-record, but I've re-recorded this about 5 times now. Yes, because the laugh was too loud. Imagine getting moved because the laugh was too loud. You can find out more on their access... On their website, friendlyaccess.org, which will be up on the screen somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, well, let's go into the actual main part of the podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. We're in another episode, guys, and you usually know we've got guests, and we do again today. Can you please introduce yourself? We'll start with Glenn.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Happy New Year, everyone. And I'm Glenn. I was part of the kind of, I don't know. I'll pick it back to the very beginning, basically. In 2011, we went as a family down to London. Whilst our visit to London, we took on a show, a West End show. It was called Wicked. And we were asked to abruptly kind of sort of leave 10 minutes into the performance. Just to give you an idea of the background, we are family of 4. Myself, my wife, Jennifer, Gregor, who's now 21, celebrated during lockdown, and Emily, who's 19, training to be a primary teacher. And so Gregor has complex needs, of which are epilepsy, autism, balance impairments. He doesn't communicate through voice, but he can communicate through other means. And he has an overall condition called neuronal migration disorder. So it's to do with the outer cortex of the brain, not just kind of marrying up together. That's that kind of electrodes that kind of send out that pulses, and they don't kind of sort of connect to one another. So Gregor's very much kind of in the present, day by day, with no real kind of sort of concept of what's happening tomorrow or in a month's time or in a year from now. So his attributes, his best attribute and amongst everything is his smile and his laughter. He's very happy all the time. And I think he's the model of what contentment looks like, which is a big, I think, really kind of the biggest prize in life, really, as far as I'm concerned. So if ever a kind of family member or anyone kind of in Gregor's presence is feeling down or low or anything like that, they just need to look at Gregor, and he's just full of smiles, and it's really infectious. You can't escape it. So you really kind of sort of, when he enters the room, he kind of lifts everyone's spirits in a really kind of good, positive way, which made it really difficult when we were asked to leave 10 minutes into the performance of Lion King in 2011 in London. And I'm a very calm person. I'm very much a kind of person that sleeps on it and then reevaluates it for the next day. And yeah, sure, I mean, I was raging inside at the time, but I never let it be shown. So, including the next day, still raging inside, but never let it be shown. So, from there, we had to, we're kind of forced into a national campaign. We had very much kind of public support behind us, various kind of radio, TV interviews and everything else. And the public couldn't believe that this could happen either. As a result, more than 1,000 emails arrived in the inbox of several situations similar to ours that we experienced. And fast forward the year after, through that campaign of literally blood, sweat and tears, and numerous self-funded trips down to London as part of a steering group, we managed to persuade production and theatre to hold a relaxed performance of Lion King. Now, this is the first to happen in the UK. They gave us two dates. It was one for London and one for Edinburgh. So that was really where we wanted to be with it. We wanted to act as a platform in a positive way to try and make good of a bad situation. And so obviously relaxed performances now, since then and now have grown. Unfortunately, due to lockdown and COVID, theatres have had to close their doors. But obviously when we overcome the situation that we're seeing presently, then hopefully we'll be back into the positive kind of relaxed performances as what was seen before. So, it was a kind of light bulb moment back in 2011 where we were thinking, right, okay, in 2012, where we achieved what we set out to do and how we could actually transfer that over to other sectors over and above theatre. So as a result, and I still feel that Gregor is really the kind of the founder of the charity that was started through that unfortunate episode at the theatre was Friendly Access. So we regard ourselves as an accessibility charity, looking for solutions, whether big or minute, which create a real significant impact to improve people and accessibility to services or anything they want to do to lead the lives they wish. So Friendly Access was officially given charity status in 2015, and we have three strands. We focus on technology, also sport, which is the front runner of what we do at the moment, and that includes surf and swim, which I'll pass over to Kev to explain a little bit more on that. So, but we also, through using those two, provide education. And that could be education supporting the surf and swim side of what we do, also education on accessibility as a whole and trying to improve that. And we've also started with a new team under policies and equalities as well, which is really exciting.
Cool. So I would follow on, but first I need to ask Kev to introduce yourself, please.
Yes, yeah, so I'm Kev. I've been working with Glenn in Friendly Access as a sports development manager. I'm delighted to be brought in as deputy chief executive of Friendly Access as well, help Glenn out on other parts of the charity too. Dom, is it okay if I maybe go back a few years and say how I started as well?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this goes back 10 years plus now. I was working for local swimming pool as a lifeguard and swim teacher, and I was offered a full-time job, and I was delighted. I took it straight away, and back at that time I was told the next day you're going to be delivering lessons to classes of school groups with additional support for learning departments. And unlike Glenn, I've got no personal connection, direct link with my friends or family to anybody with a disability or condition. So at that time I was very naive. I didn't have that understanding. I just didn't know anybody. I'd never really spoken to anybody, regardless whether they had a physical or hidden condition. So when I was told I'd be taking these kind of lesson groups, my immediate reaction was no. I'd no training, no understanding. I just didn't feel comfortable with it at all. but I did it. I was told, I was made, and I was just so glad I ended up joining these two fantastic school groups of kids and teachers. The whole feel of this group in the water was just incredible. And while I was very nervous at the start, it took no time at all to just build that kind of connection with these guys that were all so keen and eager and full of fun. And it's maybe ironic that now I'm working for a group, a charity, where we aim to not have that initial approach where I was confronted at the start, where you were kind of pushed in to do something without any accessibility training or awareness or understanding or any tools, anything to help a group like that to succeed. Now we want to provide these opportunities and make sure that everything is in place to give it its very, very best chance. So I was working as a teacher at the swimming pool, and I was loving these classes. And during that time, Glyn and a group were hiring the pool, and that's where I met Glyn. And although it wasn't connected with my work, the fact that they were hiring this pool out for a group of autistic children was just amazing. It was my chance to approach Glyn and say that this is a type of work that I enjoy, and this is something, you know, I'd like to do more of. And through working with Glyn, we were in a position where we could make something work with that. I wanted to be a surf instructor at the time, and we didn't realise at the time the amazing potential that surfing for anybody, but surfing and for those that have barriers to that sport, it could be a vehicle for real therapy as well. So it just kind of grew from there.
So why surfing and swimming? Why did the charity choose surfing and swimming? Is there a reason, or is it just because you knew what to do? Any of you can answer that.
So I think a bit of both. Yeah, no, I think a bit of both. So at the time, I was already qualified as a swim instructor, and swimming is also, in some respects, a very accessible sport. It's a safe, enclosed area. It's not a team sport or a team game, where the dynamics of a team situation can be difficult for some. Not for all, of course, but for some on the spectrum too, that can be a lot to gauge socially. With a lot of kind of complex parts with it as well. So the swimming, we also found, and it was something that I learned along the way, that for a sensory impact, being immersed in the water can be for vestibular and tactile, just everything about being surrounded by the water can be safe, can be fantastic from a sensory point of view as well. So there's something about the water that's just always worked. When it came to surfing, for us, it was experimental, but in the last 5+ years we've been doing this, globally, the research into why does surfing work? Why does surfing give such an incredible vehicle of therapy? What makes it, what makes it work in the way that it can improve people's lives, along physical benefits, mental health benefits, and why it can be so engagement. We like to think that the recipe is that we've got the sport, which is fun, and that's the appeal. We've got caring adults. We've got the long-term goals of delivering sport in a way that it will improve somebody's physical health in terms of fitness. We've got the social engagement, which is a huge part of it, that all these things come together and it can be something to massively improve someone's life. So I guess the swimming and the surfing kind of came naturally. It was things that we enjoyed, that we knew the power was behind, and that's what we focus on just now. On the flip side of that, I'd say that the swimming and the surfing's working, and there are ways that we can provide sport and opportunities, but it's not restricted to swimming and surfing. We'll happily explore anything that has that kind of therapeutic effect, anything that opens doors or gives opportunity to any of our athletes, we'd be happy to look into. So, for example, skateboarding is a transferable skill. I'm rubbish at skateboarding, but I'd like to learn more. And there's ways that we can add strings and bows to our kind of groups and services. And a major part of that is taking lead from our athletes. If our athletes are really taken to things like paddleboarding, then whatever our athletes are showing aspiration and want and energy towards, then we'll use that to direct the the surf able and swim able too, even to the lines of what each athlete wants out of it. Swimming and surfing can both be really chilled or they can be competitive. So it's a case of seeing and gauging what each of our athletes want out of these kind of sports and therapies and open doors with a kind of person-centered approach and individual lead, if that makes sense.
Okay, cool. Right, cool. So we've got dived into what you do, both of you, but can Glenn explain to me what the charity is about first, so we know a bit more about the charity before we go in depth?
Okay, so just kind of sort of recapping on yeah. the what we do and our three strands using technology, sport and education. Primarily, as I said, we are an accessibility charity, and we'll always hunt down the kind of barriers in place and try and look for solutions to try and bring those barriers down. And that means obviously we're very kind of proactive with partnership organisations, you know, working in partnership and collaboration. We are based in Moray. And obviously our surfing operates along the northeast coast. We have been up to Caithness and over to Aberdeen as well. So we are a mobile outfit for that as well, catering for geographically in Scotland. Our idea was to go further afield this year, but obviously with things that had happened, that's yeah. been postponed until next year. The technology side of things has been on the go now for pretty much over 3 years, and so we are, for example, looking for ways into make it easier for people with anxiety, hypersensitivity, to experience busy places before COVID, which we were experiencing. Obviously, that will come back.
Let me do that now, though.
Yeah. So what we on our technology and for the real geeks amongst us out there, we had a look at a therapy called virtual exposure, virtual reality exposure therapy. Now this is proven, but it was always under laboratory conditions. So just one example of a barrier in place there is that. Obviously, it creates a bottleneck. So for those trying to access that therapy to be able to desensitize or familiarize and overcome, hopefully, a busy environment so that they feel at ease walking into that environment in real life, we wanted to make that more accessible for people. So what we did is we used that theory, or that concept, sorry, and placed it using mobile phones. So mobile pocket technology is expanding all the time. It's becoming even more advanced as year on year. So with that pocket technology, what we did was we used the virtual reality exposure therapy and recreated environments using a phone and a very inexpensive virtual reality headset, costing less than £10. Put the headphones. Keep in mind this is immersive technology, so we obviously worked on tablet versions as well for those not really wanting to wear headsets either. And we validated our research last year, and therefore obviously managed to bring it out laboratory into a more accessible format, which is great. So that's we're currently working on that at the moment. So that is obviously very much a kind of national project, but also a global project as well. So we've got high expectations for that, but obviously we're working towards that as it goes on. So that's an exciting one. So as Kev mentioned, obviously we've got our surfing, and just to kind of sort of bring my thoughts on why surfing is that. It's such an adventurous water-based sport to a kind of abled neurotypical person even has reservations about doing surfing. I mean, apart from it's very cool. There's only so many times you can walk around the park for example, of trying to find activities to do for many. And what I wanted to do, and Kev is of the same passion as well, is add adventure to that. Many parents and people with varying disabilities or conditions that I speak to in day-to-day life is that there's the kind of sort of the feeling is that there aren't that many activities they can take part as or in. So you've got the added benefit of us being able to do that, but also as bringing the rest of the family as well, so they can actually do that as a family activity, and that's kind of probably the biggest, certainly through the feedback we receive, that scores very highly on what they want to see.
So we've got the charity, we've got what you do. Do you have, when teaching the surfing, swimming, or using the technology, do you enjoy it basically when you're out in the sea and you're seeing people progress? Is it, how do you explain that feeling? Kev first, and then we'll go to Glenn.
Yeah, best job in the world, easy. I think it's not always perceived as easy to take your passion, your love, and match that up with your job. I think I'm lucky because my passion and my love is not just surfing, to do your surfing, but I think I'm just as passionate about sharing that with others. So although I'm in the sea, I'm kind of matching up, sharing that passion with others, but also focusing on just short-term and long-term benefits. Not only just sharing the surfing, but we're seeing that development, we're seeing that raise in confidence, we're seeing those skill progression and development, we're seeing people we're seeing people bring surfing into their own passions, and it's something that then becomes theirs and they're excited about and can be theirs for long term too. So I think I'm lucky in that I can be in the water, I can be in the sea, I can be in the beach and be in my happy place, but I'm also in my happy place because I'm seeing that reaction from others. And I guess that's our biggest strength, is that the buy-in to the surfing and the development and the progress is there is huge. And so I guess we're just, pardon the pun, riding the wave of that kind of development and that just now. And the potential for the project is huge. The potential is as far as all our athletes want to take it. And the more it impacts their life, the more it's enjoyable for them. I guess the more enjoyment kind of comes our way as well. It kind of goes around a nice circle like that.
I just want to say before Glenn answers, riding the wave was a very good way of explaining swimming and surfing.
Definitely.
Right, okay. Can Glenn answer the question now, please?
Okay. Recap on the question again.
Just the feeling, and do you enjoy it seeing, going out and teaching and seeing people progress, etc.?
Yeah.
That's a simplified version of it, but it's the main idea.
Do you know this, and I'm not going to kind of sort of go to the extent of what Kev's already said it perfectly, and I kind of sort of similar kind of thoughts on it, but ultimately for me is the reaction very plainly on people's faces when you see them coming back time and time again. And just that reaction, obviously having them time again is fantastic, because obviously it shows that they really enjoy it and they value it, but it's a genuine reaction. And it's just, it's almost kind of like every time is their first time as well, because they're continually moving, making progress, and even, you know, it's, they're surprising themselves. And that includes everyone involved with it, whether that's kind of volunteers or coaches, instructors, and our athletes as well. We kind of sort of call our participants, if you like, athletes, because obviously they're progressing, and whatever stage they're at and how they're progressing, it's all pretty athletic. So that's why we refer to our participants as athletes. So for me, yeah, just the kind of facial reaction, and it doesn't have to be facial, it can be kind of sort of body language in any form. It's very evident to see, and that's what makes it worthwhile.
Well, so can I put athlete now on my Facebook page?
Yes.
I want to see you get that 360 done first.
Okay.
On your surfboard, dog. Then I'll let you. You just work on that bit, dude.
Right, so we've got it all covered. not everything. The podcast is still going, don't worry. We've got the basics covered, and if people like what they've heard so far, don't worry, we're not finished yet. But where can they find you? Like, online and stuff.
Okay, yeah, so obviously we're down, certainly the friendlyaccess.org, you'll find us there. Our Surfy Swimmable,
by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Surfable and Swimmable projects are run under Friendly Access, but they also have their own Facebook page. You'll find on under Surfable and also, well, Surfable Scotland and Swimmable Scotland as well. Although I think Swimmable is not quite live yet, so but certainly everything to do with our swim and our surf will be under Surfable Scotland on Twitter. On Facebook.
Yeah, I'm really keen to add. It's something that I always like doing. It's not always as easy to do, but anything to do with sport, a conversation just goes such a long way. There's so many questions that are sometimes needing answered on both sides. So, like, my phone number, for example, is on the bottom of the website on friendlyaccess.org. So for anyone that is interested in trying swimming or surfing for the first time and just needs that little bit more information about what it entails, who's it for, it is for everybody. But a little bit more information, then I'm at the other end of a phone call at any time. And sometimes that's a great way to link in straight away, know who we are, and start the conversation from there.
I'll put it on, if this goes out on a video podcast, I'll put it on the screen somewhere up there for you. The website, cool. And the phone number. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'll there just to annoy myself or something. So, where has this charity taken you? Like, it could be physically or it could be mentally. Is it giving you more opportunities or what? I don't care who answers this. It can go for either one of
you. Yeah, I think it's given me the opportunity to explore my passion and allowing me to help others. Also, I mentioned before, we're part of this global movement of researching and academically proven the effects of surf therapy. Now, surf therapy is just a strand of sport therapy, but how can this sustainably and long-term help somebody's physical and mental health? What can it give you? So they talk about vitamin C, but vitamin like SEA, the vitamin you get from taking part in open water sports like surfing, just being out and taking part in sport and being with others. So there's such a big global movement of research into this, and we're learning so much more. So for me, being able to share that passion, being able to learn so much more about the work we do, and it's as Glenn says, it's all about just breaking down barriers and being more and more accessible, and making those opportunities there for more. So I think, as I said before, we're still developing, and so it's already taken us so far. I think the whole team at Friendly Access and Surfable are just excited to see what the next steps are. Riding a wave still. I'm going to keep dropping that one in because it works.
I'm going to put that at the bottom of the... No, I'm going to use that, the title, actually. Right, so can you answer one, please? Thank you.
Yeah, for me, it's at the point where Friendly Access is no longer required. So, Tom's gone.
No, I was just taking the camera off.
Okay, cheers, Tom. For me, the whole kind of sort of word, he's back, inclusion, and how I realise that obviously we have to kind of sort of create a title as an inclusion, but I would like to see in I don't know how many years it's going to take, but to move forward so that and it comes to a point in time where inclusion is no longer required, you know, as an actual title.
Yeah.
Because actually everything that we're trying to achieve should be, in my eyes, a standard. Yeah. And that's the way I would want to see it in the years to come. So we don't actually talk about ways that we have to include everyone, because it should be there anyway. And that's really is summarising why Friendly Access is here, doing what we do.
Have you guys worked with other charities? I've just thought of this now. And I've interviewed a few people from charities on my podcast before. That's a plug for my other episode, by the way. Or my other episodes. But have you guys worked for other charities? I don't care what answers again. This one, it could go either way. Glenn, because you're on screen now.
I think collaboration is always welcomed, Dom. They have to share the same ethos in order for that collaboration to work. And that's respectful of each organisation that's in there to try and set out to achieve what, and it's got to be clear from the start to seeing it through to the end. I think if it's to hold any real value, then that it can't just be a media strike or anything like that. It has to be actually, you know, really kind of passionately.
Yeah, doing something.
Right from the beginning to the middle to the exit strategy as well. So, but yeah, absolutely. I think by collectively sharing that passion and being able to deliver it is definitely welcomed. Kev?
Have you?
Yeah, sorry, guys. My signal. Oh, yeah, okay. My signal got disconnected and came back on. So I missed half of that, sorry.
That's fine. Just saying, have you or will you be open to working with other charities in the future?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So working in partnerships and collaboration is how we've been able to get, you know, to this stage now, and sharing good practice with others is only gonna to serve our athletes in the best way. So as I've mentioned before about the kind of global movement of surf therapy, being able to share that experience and good practice, learn, collaborate, and it's all going to strengthen what we do.
I'll start with Kev first, and then I'll go to Glenn because you're on screen now. What milestones do you think Friendly Actors have achieved if you break down its history from the beginning? But we'll start, from beginning to today. What milestones have you been in?
So, yeah, milestones that stand out is, of course, running our first sessions. I think the achievements are going to be personal and individual. So for me, the fact that we've got our athletes coming back regular, so surf and sport therapy, isn't going to happen unless those sessions are regular. It's when surfing becomes a kind of constant or a kind of a consistent part of your life, where you are attending these sessions and getting exposure to the sport therapy. That's where it's going to make a difference. So that the kind of milestones are to get to the point where we are now, and we've got a number of athletes that we can put on enough sessions to make to make the therapy more sustainable, to see people coming back regularly. And so as an instructor, I can see the confidence and I can see the skill progression rise through there. So the number of athletes we've got, the number of sessions we've got, the growth. Our adaptive surfboard is a huge kind of milestone for us. Standard surfboards limiting the athletes that can take part, this tandem seated surfboard, where as an instructor I can control the board by riding on the back of it, and an athlete who maybe has limited mobility can seat comfortably in the middle of the board, and we can kind of deliver that experience of surfing from there. Milestones through the swimming, we took 6 athletes through to an inclusive an inclusive swim gala in Fraserburgh. And for swimming, for me, it's never really been about racing or medals, but the environment that was created in that gala was incredible. It was such a supportive and inclusive, the atmosphere was buzzing. It was really, really good, an amazing event run by Grampian Disability Sport at the time. And all of our swimmers, with that kind of regular swimming and working hard in their swim skills, all of them came back with gold medals, multiple medals. It was just amazing. It wasn't my idea. I didn't expect that at the time. We weren't aiming for it, but they all had that experience and they all had that kind of positive connection where they've worked hard in their swimming and they had achieved through it. And so that's our kind of first taste that regular attendance and our individuals challenging themselves and wanting to improve, intrinsically wanting to make a change and aim for something, that can open doors and that can give back and enrich someone's life through that way. So milestones through there. We're kind of looking forward to the next milestones now, looking towards the future. Other countries have adaptive surf teams which take part in national and international surf competitions. For me just now as an instructor, this is only a door I want to kind of look to if our athletes are excited, if they're keen, if it's something they would like to participate in, then we will do our very best to make, whether it's Scotland's first adaptive surf, whether it's small, in-house and fun to begin with, and whether that kind of continues to grow to the point where Scotland has an internationally participating adaptive surf team. It could take athletes all over the world, and the adaptive surf competitions just now are incredible. So to be a part of that would be fantastic. But as we said before, everything is athlete led. We don't push boundaries of athletes. We just enable them to challenge their own boundaries and push themselves when they want to. I think that's where we've got so far, and we're just looking forward to the future and hoping to keep doing it for as long as we can.
Cool, thanks. I am going to comment on, before Glenn goes, the adaptive surfboard, the one with the seats. People might have seen that before on a few news shows. I can't remember which ones I saw it on and online. What one was it on? What was the main news show that you were featured on?
STV showed some great coverage when we first launched the surfboard. Unfortunately, we launched it in November 2018, and then the following year, I was only qualified instructor able to use that board at the time, and I was in hospital with long recovery. So 2019 was out, and we all know what happened in 2020. So it's we launched. There was only a few of these adaptive surfboards in the country. They're very big surfboards to cope with the buoyancy of needing two surfers on it, the instructor controlling the board and the athlete riding. So it's a specialized bit of equipment, and with a race car seat to keep weight low in the middle of the board. So it's an incredible piece of equipment. We were so stoked to get this and to have some athletes to use it, and then unfortunately for the last 2 years it hasn't seen the water anywhere near enough. So that's for milestone that we're looking on to next time is to get that board used, definitely, to allow hopeful new participating athletes, let them know that board is there, and that's a push for next year too.
Cool. So I can Glenn answer the question about milestones now, please, as well, in case. I doubt you've forgotten it, but just in case.
I kind of touched on it on the last question about the inclusion and how it should be standard. And I think that's obviously kind of sort of far ahead, but the kind of sort of the ultimate kind of milestone we want to reach. But certainly in between, I think just keep doing what we're doing, but that will only be truly evaluated by everyone we serve and we deliver to. It's only through their feedback and their views of what we do then we can monitor our success. So they are very much at the heart of us reaching the progression and each and the milestones, whether or not that's kind of growth and what we're doing, but more of. And I think as long as we're kind of sort of moving towards that, I think small steps, because the world can't unfortunately be changed in a day. Another milestone, but separate from Friendly Access, is to see you, Dom, as Prime Minister one day. So I think actually having an autistic Prime Minister who there are no hidden agendas or anything like that, very kind of straight talking, we understand everything of what you're trying to say and everything else, I think that would be amazing. It'd be really good. So perhaps we can be some form of kind of milestone within that as well. For me, you get your glory when you're there one day.
I saw some news story not long ago. Apparently, Gordon Brown was rumoured to be, but I don't have a clue if he was good or not, because there seems to be no stories of what he did. And then he's not confirmed if he is or not.
You have to set up an interview, don't you?
We'll confirm when I'm Prime Minister that I am, in fact, autistic.
Vote for Dom.
He'll be on Boston. So what are the plans for 2021, if you get to do any? Because God knows right now. And I don't even believe in God, so that proves who knows.
I think it'd be good to get... I mean, we did a recent film recently for our new campaign, which will, if don't get asked what the campaign is, we'll make sure that it gets mentioned at the end. It was really kind of sort of... Kev was shielding. We as a family, we were shielding during lockdown. So you're kind of really kind of frustrated at not being able to do what you want to do, what you follow your passion. So when lockdown lifted, there was a glimmer of light, and taking heed of the guidelines and everything else, we were able to get back into the water, which was absolutely fantastic. It was so missed. And the response was terrific as well. We were very much kind of running at a loss, and it wasn't sustainable. But just simply to have that kind of presence, just to satisfy everyone's needs and even our own in a selfish way, was just absolutely brilliant. So if we are going to be restricted going into 2021, which is kind of likely it is going to be until certainly the kind of any hope of the kind of vaccines get up to a certain percentage that the country feels happy to kind of start lifting the kind of the current restrictions that are in place, then we'll just doing what we'll just look at the every way possible to try and do what we do in the best way.
Cool. So Kev, what are your goals for working with the charity for 2021? Again, if they get to happen.
Yeah. Absolutely loads, to be as busy as possible. As a kind of surf instructor, I'm very kinesthetic. I've always kind of learned more from doing rather than not very academic. I never thought I would ever love written work of any sort. But at the minute, what we're really enjoying or seeing the benefit for is just evaluation reports, evaluating our sessions, evaluating progress, our individual sessions for each athlete that attends, so that we can share within the instructor team what kind of teaching approaches are working well and what direction. Obviously, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and that's very true. In something as dynamic as surfing, there are many ways to progress through that sport, taking into account each athlete's preferences as well. So to be able to record and report these kind of achievements and developments and kind of future pathways is something we're really excited on, and we're hoping that has a big impact on all of our athletes' enjoyment and progress, and that kind of circle kind of feeds in from there. I mentioned it a few times, but this therapy, this impact that surfing can have, especially when social isolation, mental health is an issue, especially with vulnerable groups whose opportunities to take part in sports and opportunities like this is lower, that the impact is significant. Some impact to that level can be, well, we definitely feel it can be, is just a sustainable part of somebody's therapy, whether that's physical therapy, whether that's occupational therapy. One thing we would love to see is referrals and prescriptions through health boards and health trusts for swimming and surfing. And that would be a huge thing for us next year. Flexible pathways in education to where this kind of sport therapy can help and assist somebody's health and education. So through education, through health trusts, if that's where we can get referrals and prescriptions, then I think that's a key way where we can provide our service to more people who maybe don't yet have had the chance to see and feel for themselves. It's always very difficult to describe that feeling of riding a surfboard. It's such a simple thing. It's just riding a wave on a very simple piece of equipment. But that kind of exhilaration, that incredible feeling, once you've done it, you know, very, very little people then say, oh, that's not for me. I don't want to do that again. So there's that fun and excitement and joy which should be available to everybody. But then there's those secondary benefits, those mental health and physical health benefits that can impact somebody in a huge way and change lives. So for us, it's about continually adding and improving the service for next year, but also ways where we can share this passion and open it to as many people as possible. And that's what we're going to look into for next year.
Okay, just picking up on Kev's idiom about skinning cats, I can guarantee that no cats were harmed during something at all whatsoever.
There's got to be a better, but no. Tongue-tied.
Just want to clarify.
So now we're just going to talk about a few points before we finish. Can Kev explain what we're going to talk about, please? Thank you all.
Yeah, so I guess it carries on from what you said, plans for next year. I mentioned that the adaptive board, we launched it in 2018, but there's been major barriers in the last 2 years. Around about the same time we launched that board, we had the vision of having an accessible changing facility down at Lossiemouth. There's the beach that we use most often, and it's very versatile for waves and the river being accessible to paddle boarding as well. So we would love to see a surf-specific facility down at Lossiemouth with multiple accessible changing facilities. Right now, we monitor our service, evaluate the service, and would say that changing in dignity would be the biggest barrier to our service. It's following on from a bit of inspiration and words used by another adaptive surf school down in Swansea who were on the BBC Children in Need DIY SOS project this year. What they've made down there is amazing, and one of the quotes that Benjamin Clifford, who runs that surf school down there, it kind of struck a chord with us. He said that they've always strived or driven to provide world-class service in what they do, whether it comes down to their teaching approach, the way they deliver their sessions, and their accessible approach and their kind of mission ethos. But one thing seemed unattainable. It seemed too difficult to achieve when they first started up, and that was to have something specifically tailored for them, a facility and an accessible changing facility, which to us would just make such a huge, huge difference. I think that struck a chord with us because it's the same ethos that we share. We try to do our very best for every way with the swim and surf projects, and this, we'd say, is our biggest barrier. So that's what we're driving forward for just now. We're incredibly lucky in that we've been working with a filmmaker. He's very well known for filming with the BBC with wildlife documentaries. And he's made this incredible film that we're sharing with media just now. And it's to highlight that drive and that that campaign for an accessible changing facility down at Lossiemouth. And that would make the world a difference.
Cool. I don't know if you could, but is there any teasers you could tease people about? I've not seen it yet, so I can't even give teasers. But can you give like a small glimpse of what it's about? I don't want to know everything, just a small glimpse of what it's about so people can look out for it.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
I think a picture paints a thousand words, that old kind of sort of cliche, but when you see the incredible film work of James Stevens and just kind of filming the kind of the routines of what Surf Fable Scotland's all about, it really kind of impacts, you know, it really does pull on the heartstrings and kind of sort of, it's quite an emotional journey as well, in particular for Kev, because Kev through this journey ended up in hospital for a period of time, as you know, and that was really hard on him, his family, and everything. So if you want any teaser, it's a little bit of kind of background on Kev as well, so which is really nice. But it does really kind of show quite evidently the kind of the passion of what everyone's trying to achieve here.
When is it public?
Say again, sorry?
When's it going to be public for everyone?
We don't know yet, but we'll keep you posted.
I'll share it on my Facebook page so people can have one like my Facebook page.
Cheers, Dom, for that. Yeah, I think what is interesting as well is the fact that Surfability, which is the only other adaptive surf school in the UK, and how we mirror image them, they've really brought home to actually the things that we can also achieve. The way that obviously they worked with DIY SOS, which is a brilliant team behind them. Everyone will be familiar with that, and also Children in Need as well. But that just shows a kind of collaboration together to put kind of pressure on, and maybe kind of highlight to the local community through media that can be done. So unfortunately, we don't have DIY SOS or Children in Need, but we hope to still have that community buy-in, because like them, it was just down to the goodwill and gestures of their local community that they were able to actually fund and build this and within that community. So I don't see why we can't do that in Lossiemouth, because we have a kind of strong local community up here as well. So ultimately, if any joiners, builders, or anyone out there, we'd like to share that our passion and be part of that journey. That's who we'll be looking for that support. And then not
project managers.
Yeah, project manager, architect, you name it. So that's the high on our the highest on our priority list at the moment. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for listening, guys, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Oh, before you go, international staff gesture.
Oh yeah, okay.
Bananas.
Thanks for listening. Go check them out on the website. Go check my website out as well. They'll both be in the description somewhere. And the intro music you've heard was by Ego Cheap. I would usually have outro music. But recently we've changed and now it's all done. I just need to get that fixed. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Happy New Year, everyone.